On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello. With me is Jennifer Cannon. She is an actress and singer. She is the lead in the play Silent Sky, performed at the International City Theater in Long Beach. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I have just enjoyed one of the most incredible plays, productions that I have seen in a long, long time.
Thank you.
You were the lead playing Henrietta Swan Leavitt, a woman we should all know about because she discovered the pattern in Cepheid stars that led to measuring distances in space, a massive astronomical discovery. Did you know about her before you took that position?
I did not, and I was ashamed of it. I'm still ashamed of it. I didn't know her name. I didn't know the name Annie Jump Cannon, which I should because my last name is Cannon. She was another female computer that knew Henrietta Swan Leavitt that worked with her around the same time period, also a character in the play. And Wilhelmina Fleming, another female computer that worked at the Harvard Observatory during this time period that the play is set around 1890s to the 1900s to like the 1920s.
You're using the term computers because they called these ladies computers, but they were no technological instruments. No. They were the mathematical brains. They were computing math in their heads.
That is exactly what they were doing. They were doing a lot of computations, computing of the star plates or photographs that were taking of the sky at this time by Edward Pickering, who was the director of the Harvard Observatory at this time. And what they did is they took pictures of the stars and used dry emulsion to put those black and white negatives and those black and white photos on glass plates. And then they would hand those plates, the men, because only they were allowed to use the telescope at nighttime. In the morning, first thing in the morning, they would hand over all the star plates to the female computers. And those ladies would do various observations, various mathematics to plot and discover and figure out what they were looking at. What's an asteroid field? What's a star? What's a Cepheid? In this case, Henrietta Swan Leavitt really got on to the Cepheid stars and through all of her, I'm not joking, painstaking observation, bent over these little plates, you know, with these magnifying glasses and with these special little smaller glass plates they called star spankers. They were quoted as spankers because it was actually Henrietta Swan Leavitt who said, well, they can't really do much damage to a fly. They can't really swat them, so we'll call them spankers because they just spank the fly.
The woman in charge of their department, which was all these three ladies, made another discovery about the heat in stars.
Annie Jump Cannon, she also made a lot of discoveries. She was really more into, yes, the difference between like the blue stars and the red stars. What does that mean? Does blue mean it's hotter or does red mean it's hotter? She was really into the coloring of the star. But then through other observations, there were other women there as well, but this play focuses on these three. They all sort of build on each other. So Henrietta was really into the Cepheids. Annie Jump Cannon was sort of into more of the temperatures. And then Wilhelmina is the sort of grand matriarch of the three. She had been there the longest and had seen a bunch. So, yeah, they all made various discoveries and discovered new stars. Wilhelmina Fleming was calculated, I forget the exact number, but she's credited with finding a lot of new stars, somewhere I think in the thousands.
Yes, they were doing very detailed work. Mm. And the play written by Lauren Gunderson, Silent Sky, does tell us and teach us in an entertaining way what they went through to learn, to discover, to challenge the scientific world as women. But it was a beautiful play because it had love stories and interpersonal relationships and family. Mm-hmm. So it had multiple layers.
Yeah, Lauren Gunderson has given us a beautiful piece of not just theater and arts, but also a fantastic explanation of the sciences and astronomy to people that might see this play that might not know anything about science. But through her interpretation of what these women were going through, and by putting in the humanity and the love that these people experienced, it all kind of comes at you at the end in a tidal wave, which is what I love about this play, is it's so unexpected, and you're like, oh my gosh, these women and their relationships with them, each other and the science, it just changes everybody in such a human way. It's beautiful.
It did so because I found out more about astronomical discoveries, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a lecture. It wasn't a talk. It was done through other concerns as human beings.
I would say nonlinear. It's very nonlinear. It kind of jumps through space and time, and the transitions are very sort of ethereal, star-like, if you will. And it just feels like you're kind of riding a shooting star. Because nonlinear is the word I would choose. And it's perfect. Because, yeah, if you took more of a linear approach of, like, this is the science, it would turn into, like, a lecture. But not forgetting that these three women struggled. And I can't tell you how painstaking the work was that they did.
And some of them basically got paid about 25 mm-hmm. cents an hour. Some of them weren't able to develop family lives. They took a lot of sacrifice to do what they did.
They did. A lot of the women, because it was quite more than three, obviously, quite a lot of women wanted to work at the observatory. When I did all the research, that's what I found interesting, is there were a lot of women who wanted to do it. But Pickering, who ran the observatory, was very particular in who he chose, because these women were educated. They were absolutely educated. They knew what they were doing, and he did want the best, because he was very passionate about just getting the science and the work done.
And Henrietta Swan Leavitt was so passionate to make discoveries, to find out about the universe, to mm-hmm. find out about what more is out there,
yeah.
because she came from a religious family. Father mm-hmm. was a preacher. And yet she was concerned about what could be seen from the sky, extremely disappointed that they wouldn't allow a woman to actually look through a telescope.
I know. But even so, even though she wasn't allowed to view the telescope, she still made amazing discoveries. That's what I find so inspiring about this, is that despite a disability, if you will, not being able to look through the telescope, she still found things. I can only imagine, it breaks my heart to think about it, but you can only imagine what she might have been able to see had she been given the opportunity to look through the telescope.
What more she may have been able to interpret, because it wasn't just to her recording the stars and counting the stars that mm-hmm. she saw, but coming up with theories.
Yeah.
That were eventually proven even by one of the most famous astronomers, Hubble.
Exactly. I only recently found out that he, during his life, sort of just kind of pushed away this notion that Henrietta Swan Leavitt was the one who really made the first connection with distance in space to the research she was doing. That's so frustrating, because it's like, Hubble, my friend, you would not have been able to find out how to calculate where we are into, I think, the Andromedae cluster, I think was his first discovery of distance. You would not have been able to do that had she not first found the pattern, to which mathematically then they could plug into all of their research. And Hertzsprung, the Danish astronomer, and Hubble, they were some of the first men, if you will, to really do something with her research. But you couldn't have done it without her. She like found the key and they opened the door. But without the key, very frustrating.
Did she eventually get the Nobel Prize?
She did not. She passed away of ovarian cancer in 1923, and the Danish gentleman who called the observatory 4 years after her passing said, I'd like to nominate Henrietta Swan Leavitt for the Nobel Prize. And it was Pickering's successor, his last name was Shapley. He was the one that said, I'm sorry, you know, she's no longer alive, she's passed away. And they do not honor the Nobel Prize posthumously. So she missed on that opportunity. As she says in the play, and I like, she takes the compliment.
You were on stage for 2 hours.
Yes,
I don't
maybe.
Know how you memorized all those lines, how you learned all this science, which we really weren't taught too much about in school. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge. It's a beautiful play. How did the International City Theater, which is based here at the Long Beach Performing Arts Complex next to the Long Beach Convention Center, mm-hmm. choose this play? How did you decide that you're going to take on that challenge?
Karen Desai is our artistic director for the International City Theater, and she is an extremely passionate woman who is always, always interested in finding works of art or works of theater that change hearts and change minds. And it is something that I also passionately seek out in my career and in my life. Works of art that aren't just entertaining and fun, but that change the way you might think about something or inspire you to be a better person. or like in this case, we learn about this history that we should know about. But at the same time, we're inspired by these women, this one woman in particular, Henrietta Leavitt, who through her deafness, because she was mostly deaf, and through the lack of being able to touch the telescope, she still persevered. And that's why this play, I was an easy decision for me once I was given the offer. I was like, oh yes, this is why I do theater. It changes hearts and minds.
It changed my heart. I was in tears only because it was so moving. It was so meaningful and enjoyable to see the actresses, one actor, do this drama. So we learned while we enjoyed and while we felt for love stories, love come and gone.
It's a credit to the playwright, Lauren Gunderson. She wrote it so well and so simple that what's happening is the performers are having an experience and the audience is also having a similar experience. So we are all one flesh and blood in the same place at the same time for 2 hours experiencing this incredible story.
As an environmental radio show, I talk usually about the environment on Earth, but the sky is out there. We see it in the daylight, but we see those stars at night. And I think it's always been a wonder to human beings. What is out there in that sky? What are those stars? I had the feeling that there are a lot more stories here about the astronomy and the discoveries.
But I think other plays or other stories about the other women that were a part of this. Annie Jump Cannon has a very colorful, fascinating biography. I mean, we kind of get a piece of that in this play. She was very outspoken. She was very, you know, within the suffragette movement at the time. So that's what I would want to see, the Annie Jump Cannon play or the Wilhelmina Fleming play, who also overcame a lot of hardships to do what they were doing. But as far as like the science is compared to like the, like you were saying, you mostly talk about the Earth. Henrietta was the first person to give us an idea of where our Earth is in the grand scheme of things, because it's so hard to believe that before Henrietta Swan Leavitt made this discovery, we sort of had no idea how far away things in the sky were. We had no idea how far away the moon was. We had no idea sort of how to measure three-dimensionally. We only saw it two-dimensionally. So she just kind of opened up our eyes to everything from where we stand on the Earth.
I was paying particular attention to try and learn how we do that measurement. Mm-hmm. Can you explain it?
I can certainly try. She basically spent hours and hours and weeks and months and years following different Cepheid stars, which are variable stars from the Delta Cephei that they appear to blink. And it's one thing to calculate over the different star plates, you know, using the same star plate of the same area, just taken at a different time. You can calculate, oh, this Cepheid star takes 3 days to go through its full cycle of magnitude, of brightness magnitude. And this star takes 6 months. And this one takes 1 day. So where is the pattern in this? And from the pattern, I'm doing my best to explain the science, she took the math and took what she was calculating and took it linearly so that she could prove that there was a pattern within the stars. And based on that pattern, basically it's this, just because this star is brighter does mean that it's closer. Because at first they were like, well, it might be brighter, but that's just because it's more powerful and it's far away. Her calculation, oh, the math. I'm not even sure. It's so incredibly painstaking. It's basically calculating all of the variables in their brightness, like the, how long does this one take, how long does this one take, turning it into a graph linearly so that she could look at it. And then from all this research, they could prove, yes, there is a relationship between the brightness and their distance.
Has anyone ever calculated how many discoveries Henrietta Swan Leavitt did, Annie Jump Cannon did, Wilhelmina Fleming did, alone and in conjunction with the male counterparts at Harvard University?
They have. Henrietta Swan Leavitt discovered, I think the final count was 2,400 Cepheid variable stars that no one else had found before. Wilhelmina Fleming, I think, has the most, I forget the number, it's in the thousands, of new stars. She found new stars. Annie Jump Cannon found a new asteroid, I believe, in comparison to their male counterparts. I will say this about Edward Pickering, who ran the observatory at this time. His one and only passion was astronomy, and it was because of him not really seeing it as a male or female world. He allowed the women to come and do work that was acceptable, I put that in quotations, acceptable at the time. His collaboration with the women and the males that were working at the observatory had, at that time, America, the Harvard Observatory, had the most star plates. The final count was somewhere in the millions. And they're only just now, within the last 5 years, starting to turn those plates into digital format, which means for the last 100 years, we have still been using the same photographs on the same star plates that were touched by Henrietta Swan Leavitt and Dr. Pickering. Their discoveries are still extremely relevant. We're only just now putting it into digital format.
And once it's in digital, more scientists can see them. Mm-hmm. The computers that are technologically oriented might be able to come up with some interesting calculations. Many more discoveries from their work.
Absolutely.
I'm reading your biography, and you've performed in so many different plays and even musicals about other scientists like Tesla. What was the biggest challenge in presenting a female scientist when it was pretty rare?
I would say the biggest challenge was to embrace a true fact about this woman, which was this. She is described as being the light in the room. Anytime she came into the room, she changed the atmosphere. She was extremely warm and very supportive of her friends. So even though this play deals with very, very deep, dark frustrations and all of the disabilities that she encountered, she was still energetic and happy. So to play that, if you will, and not have it appear fake. It's like, no, this person genuinely just loved life and loved what she did.
You played it well and extremely successful.
Thank you.
You showed that people who make incredible discoveries that our science is so dependent upon were human beings who had difficulties to overcome, family life, and many other situations. In this case, just being a woman and getting credit.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't too difficult to just play a strong woman surrounded by other strong women, because the performers we have in this play are extremely talented. And without sounding too cliche, I might be on stage for about 2 hours, but this really is an ensemble piece. The other four characters and the actors, they are the foundation on which I stand.
The interaction was incredible. I want to thank you so very much for a most enjoyable afternoon. You have performances in the evening as well. Thank you so very much for a delightful production. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having the passion and for having me here. Thank you.
I have been speaking to Jennifer Cannon, who played Henrietta Swan Leavitt in the play Silent Sky by the International City Theater in Long Beach. She is an actress and singer, and we will look forward to more of her roles.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment with more Ecological Issues.